This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. America quietly crossed a rather dramatic milestone this week. According to the Pew Research Center, half of all adults in the U.S. now own either a tablet computer or a smartphone.
Half? Or didn't you notice because you're so busy staring down at your tablet computer or smartphone? That's certainly true for many of us here at Radio Boston, truth be told. But dovetailing nicely with the smartphone boom is the fact that Greater Boston is also experiencing a boom in the number of companies developing apps for all those phones and tablets. So that inspired us to launch a new Radio Boston feature where we'll be discovering new Boston-based apps. And our guide will be Scott Kersner, the Boston Globe's Innovation Economy columnist. He's here with us now. Hey there, Scott.
How are you, Meghna?
I'm doing great. It's always great to have you on the show, and I'm very excited about this new occasional series, we'll call it. But I want to start by asking you, you've told me that you've obsessively beta tested a lot of these new apps, so I gather there is no shortage coming from Boston.
It feels like I'm hearing about a new one every day, and sometimes they're companies that are real companies that have funding and employees, and sometimes they're just individual hackers. I ran into a guy when I was getting my car inspected in Cambridge who was like, oh yeah, I'm developing some apps. Would you download them? Check them out.
And was he actually doing the inspection on your car?
He was like the guy taking the money at the and pumping gas at the gas station. I was like, this is a trend if the guy at the gas station on Mass Ave is an app developer now.
Okay, so we'll talk more about why it's percolated even to that level, which is actually, I have to say, kind of cool. But let's talk about a couple apps in specific that you have tested or test-driven. First, there's one that you've called your favorite app for highway driving. What is that?
Well, if you ever had the experience of being hungry on the highway and like you're looking at the little green signs that say, okay, at this exit, there's a Burger King and at this exit, there's a Dunkin' Donuts, but you're holding out for Wendy's or maybe you're holding out for like maybe there's a good barbecue restaurant further down the road. This is an app that indexes the world by highway exits. So you can, you know, ideally the passenger is using it, not the driver. You can see that, oh, if I just wait for another 20 miles, I can get that barbecue, you know, pulled pork sandwich that I really would like. It also indexes gas stations at every exit, and it tells you what they're charging per gallon of gas, so you can save some money if you're willing to drive a little further.
And it's called Road Ahead, and it's based from a group out in Winchester.
Yeah, from an entrepreneur who had been a venture capitalist and decided to get into mobile app development himself. And it's really neat. They have all kinds of categories of, you know, maybe you're looking for ice cream shops or you're looking for amusements or museums or things to do. And it gives you a lot more information than those green signs on the side of the road do.
I've actually, defying all radio rules, I've brought my iPhone in here and I've got Road Ahead on the device, and it's looking at everything that's right around us here at WBUR. We're not that far from the Mass Pike. So yeah, it's pretty up to date. That's one thing that I'm always worried about with apps, that it's giving you out of date information. But this seems to have identified the restaurants that we do know are around here. They're doing a good job at it.
And if you notice, it shows you different discounts that they might be offering. You know, if they have 2-for-1 appetizers during happy hour, you know, the app lets you know that too.
So, you know, you mentioned that the founder, Jeffrey Baer, I believe, a former venture capitalist, and also he used to work at Lotus. It seems like there will be a lot of people who have some experience with apps, and because of the low barrier to entry, there's nothing to stop them from jumping in.
It doesn't cost a lot. I mean, you can hire one developer, maybe even part-time, and a designer and get an app off the ground for probably less than $100,000. The challenge everyone's finding now is that once it gets into the iTunes store, there are about 700,000 other apps. So it's really a marketing challenge and a promotional challenge of how do you get someone to know that your app exists once you've maybe built it for $50,000 or $100,000.
Although in that sense, this may be creating a new ecosystem of businesses around the developers themselves, hiring PR firms to get Apple's attention.
Yeah, it's going to be good for that. Getting Apple's attention is like the mystery that everyone is trying to figure out.
Well, let's go on to another app that that you pointed me towards. It just seems really cool. It's called Timber.
Yeah, Timber came out of a shop in Cambridge called Intrepid Labs, I think. And they've spent a year or two developing apps for other people. And so I think this was a passion project inside the company where they wanted to do something music related. It initially started at a hackathon that the Boston Globe and some other local groups were sponsoring, kind of couple weekend long hackathon.
Intrepid Pursuits. Sorry,
Intrepid Pursuits.
Looking at my notes.
Yeah. And so it's really cool. It just, you know, it's sort of trying to reconnect people to live music and show you all the opportunities there are to go see live music shows around you.
Okay, so I do have that here on the phone as well. And actually what it does is it, you know, obviously first wants to use location services for your phone and see where you are. And now basically what it's done is it's popped up a whole list of bands. And I'm scrolling through them according to by date. And I suppose that these are bands that'll be having live shows near where I am right now.
Yeah, I would guess it's probably showing, you know, like the Paradise Rock Club just mm-hmm. across the street and maybe Sculler's Jazz Club by the river. And the design is really nice because it does focus on, okay, the first stuff is things you could go out to tonight and then you get to tomorrow and Friday night.
Okay, so let me, I'm going to pick one here, a band called Snarky Puppy. I'll admit I've never heard of them before, so. Oh, and it plays a sample of their music as well. Okay. And I have the option of buying
it,
of
course. I want to go hear them.
They don't sound bad.
The problem I was running into, I was worried because, you know, they do have samples of most of the bands, but then there are some that I think are too small or obscure that maybe don't have music on iTunes, and so they can't easily grab the samples. I'd love for it to be 100% comprehensive where you could hear a sample of everything.
Mm. And so this is a group from Cambridge, Intrepid Pursuits. And what's interesting to me about them is that they've decided that they only want to actually spend 20% of their time developing new apps, but they're mostly doing consulting for other people who want apps.
Because there's so much demand right now for everyone. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts now has an app and, you know, maybe they developed that in-house, but more likely they hired a contractor, and TJ Maxx and all big companies, Fidelity. You know, everyone is either hiring app developers in-house to build their apps, or they're going to these contracting firms and getting help.
So we've just got about a minute to go, Scott. What do you think is really driving the development boom here? I mean, in a sense, like, we were really set up for this, but it seems to have spiked recently.
It spiked just because there are a lot of good software developers in Boston and Cambridge. And I think there are also a lot of investors now who sort of look at the smartphone as the new frontier. You know, it's being adopted faster than any technology before it, faster than the PC. And so people think that, you know, it's sort of a land grab, basically. You know, what new software are people going to want to use every day when they wake up in the morning, or when they're at the grocery store, when they're, you know, maybe at work trying to do something sales related? And just investors seem to feel like there's a lot of opportunity on that little screen.
Okay, Scott. So this is the first of many conversations we're going to have with you over time about apps coming from Boston. And so I want to name this new segment with you. Do you have any ideas? For names?
I was suggesting the generic, like, App City.
that one I think is taken by the New York Times.
I don't know.
Aptropolis. Okay, well, I tweeted this out earlier today, and we've got some answers from other folks. The Hub App Report, Our App City, and Hubca Apps, and Time to Open a Can of Whoop App. So I'm not quite sure.
That should definitely be the slogan.
Go with any of those. It's a good thing we're not in the branding business. But I do want to crowdsource this name, people. So if you have an idea for the name of this new segment that we're going to have with Scott Kersner about Boston-based apps, tweet it to me. I'm at Meghna, WBUR, which is MEGHNAWBUR. Scott Kersner, innovation economy columnist for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much, and see you next time.
All right, I'll see you.